morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Denise, we have a special guest in the studio today, Oscar Mestiz, the regional urban forester with the Texas A&M Forest Service. And what else is Oscar going to be here for but to tell us about tree care, especially in the winter months because, you know, our trees still need some care, despite the fact that they're a little bare. And right. I did not mean to rhyme there, but it just sort of came out that way. Oscar, welcome back to Good to Grow.
Good morning, Norma and Denise. Thank you for having me back.
Well, as we said, our trees are, the deciduous ones at least, are bare. And so we still need to think about maybe giving them some irrigation. So what are we thinking of as far as irrigation goes? If you have a younger tree, if you have a more established tree, what should we be thinking about?
Okay. Irrigation is a good place to start. And let's start with the younger trees. If you have a younger tree and you just planted it this fall, because as we all know, we're trying to promote fall is for planting. It's a good time to get trees established because the roots will continue to grow throughout the winter as long as they have moisture in the soil. So they'll be better prepared for the spring when the spring winds come. So if you just planted your young tree, check the water every 3 to 4 days and check the soil and see if it's moist and just keep it moist. Definitely at least once a week because it's still a small tree. It's still trying to get established and you want to make sure the root ball is wet and the surrounding soil is wet so that it can start growing into the surrounding soil. But, you know, if it rains or we get a snowfall, then you might be able to skip a week or so. But just make sure it's moist. You have that tool at the end of your hand called a finger that can feel moisture.
That's right.
And so just feel it. That's the easiest way to tell because people go, well, when's my tree need watering? I go, it depends. And so here again, the larger the tree, the more water. The smaller the tree, the less water.
And now, Oscar, we ask, you know, we always talk about irrigation systems in general during the wintertime and to kind of prevent pipes from freezing and things like that. So I think if most people have their irrigation system turned off, there's nothing wrong with watering by hose. And when we talk about irrigation for trees, it's going to be a lot different than when we talk about it for turf grass or any kind of other small plants in there. What technique should we follow? We're just going to kind of drag our hose out to our trees out in the yard. Do we just soak it? Do we just give them a light sprinkle? Or what do you?
Yes to all the above. And you're correct. Yeah, because like my irrigation system, I don't have a sprinkler system per se, but I have faucets all around the yard. And so my system in the winter, I turn it off manually with one valve at night. And then when the temperatures warm up in the morning, I turn it back on so that I can use water during the day. And then I don't have to worry about my pipes freezing because I've done that before where they have my outdoor pipes that are frozen, and then I have gushers that I come home from work and have a gusher in the air. So, yeah, turn your water on and off. Everybody should have a valve there. They can turn the water on and off. That's what I do. I take a hose, and I drag it to my tree, and I just lay it down and turn it on and just water it. There's a rule of thumb that you can put down 10 gallons of water per caliper inch. So if you're planting a one-inch tree, you know, that's probably a good somewhere about between a 5 and a 15 gallon, you know, you put down 10 gallons of water. But that's just a rule of thumb. Mm-hmm. So you have to know your soil here again. Like my soils are clay, so it holds water a lot better than if you were in a sandier site. So, yeah, just take it out there, turn it on, let it slowly infiltrate the soil. That's what we want, good, slow, deep irrigation.
You Perfect. Don't want that hose turned up all the way.
No. Especially right. if you're on a slope and then it runs off and then water yeah. utilities gets a little angry. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And then also when we're talking about the irrigation too, in the wintertime our evaporation rates are going to be much lower than that. So really if we're looking and putting a really deep watering, we're kind of ensuring that that water is going to stay in the soil for a relatively longer period of time. So that irrigation interval, if you will, is going to be spread out a little bit wider in the winter.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
It is. And that's a good point because the temperatures are colder. We're not going to lose a lot to evaporation, so you'll have a lot more water in your soil. It should last longer, especially if you have mulch. But we also have to remember in the wintertime, our relative humidities drop really low. We're like in the single digits. It's very dry out there. So your deciduous trees, as Norma said earlier, those go pretty much dormant. And they don't have as much problem with evaporating water through their lenticels or whatever through their bark. But our evergreens do. You know, we still have our evergreens out there, our pines, our junipers, our cedars. And on a warm day, you know, if we can get 60 degrees in the winter, the evapotranspiration rate is still going to be transpiring water through its leaves. So we're going to be losing water. So those are more critical than our deciduous trees, is to make sure that if you have evergreens, water them at least monthly. I try to water my mature trees. Unless I get a good 1 or 2 inches of rain, which we haven't had,
right,
I will go out there and I'll put out my sprinklers and my hoses, and I'll water all my mature trees at least once a month.
Well, we also have to talk a little bit about the distance as to how far out you want to water, right? Because if you do have a younger tree, you maybe planted it earlier this fall. Chances are you still have that little basin where you put the root ball in, and maybe that's what you need to water for that specific tree because its roots haven't yet gone out into the soil. But if you do have a more established tree, whether it be maybe 3 or 4 years old or even bigger, right, you're going to have to move that water source out further from that base of the tree.
Correct. That's exactly right. Because when I moved here 23 years ago, I moved back to my grandfather's old cotton farm. So we were ground zero. We had nothing planted. Mm-hmm. So all my young trees at the time, I was watering around the trees. But now since my trees are like clustered and they're roughly anywhere from 15 to 20 feet apart, they're fairly mature and all their root systems are intertwined. So I don't individually water each tree at the base of the tree. I'll water right smack in the middle and let the water run over the ground, and that way I'll ensure I get the roots of all my trees. And so I don't use a water hose at each individual tree. I have a portable system where I have sprinklers set up, and I just let it run, and I set out tuna cans because mm-hmm. they're an inch deep, and so I know when I put out an inch of water. So I just let it run, and when it fills up to an inch, then I move it to another section and water there.
That's a really great little trick, a tuna can an inch deep. That's a good way to find out how much water you're putting down.
Exactly. And so that 1 inch of water is going to pretty much percolate at least 4 to 6 inches into the soil profile. So that's where it goes back to that deep watering, where you want to make sure that water's intercepting those roots.
And that's a good point, Denise, because you know, depending on your soil type, if I put down an inch, I'll still use my soil probe to see how far that water's penetrated. And if I want to get down at least 18 inches, so I may have to put down an inch, wait a while, put down another inch, and I may have to put down 3 inches to get my 18 inches of profile, depending on how porous my soil is.
Right, exactly. And I know that my backyard is actually an opposite type of soil. It's not a heavy soil at all. It's a sandy soil as well. So that water will infiltrate very quickly, but then it won't really hold there for very much longer. So, you know, my irrigation interval is going to be much different, also depending on not just your location, but also the types of trees that you have and how actively they're growing, especially mm-hmm. this time of the year.
Yeah. I mean, it is science, but it's real simple. I mean, and most of it is observation is part of it. And don't be afraid to see how deep that water is going, because you'd be surprised. You think you put on a lot, and then you put that probe in there, and it stops at 1 or 2 inches, and you go, wow, I need to go deeper, because we want to wet that soil profile 12 to 18 inches deep, because that's where most of our fine feeder roots are going to be. And should we get a hard freeze like we did February 2011, and if you don't have water in that soil, then a lot of your trees will get winter damaged, and you'll see a lot of dieback on the tops and tips and come the spring bud break.
Right, and I think that's a lot of the reason why we had a lot of mortality also, because a lot of our trees were under drought stress to begin with because of inadequate irrigation. And then when that strong freeze hit, it was just like a 1-2 punch for mm-hmm. them. So definitely, it's kind of counterintuitive too. You think, I put water in that soil, but no, it does actually work, because, you know, you don't want to make sure that those cells and sites start bursting.
Despite the fact whether you do water, I guess, a certain type of tree, if it's not acclimatized for really cold winters, it probably still is going to suffer damage no matter how much you take care of it, right? I noticed this with pretty much every single desert museum Palo Verde, including one that I had, which was, it's a thornless Palo Verde, and almost all the ones that I had seen had completely died after that freeze.
Exactly. And I think a lot of professionals had just kind of mentioned to kind of be a little bit more mm-hmm. Conservative when you're choosing to plant a tree in a larger area, because we hope that these are going to be a permanent fixture, if not a really long-term investment into your landscape as well. Unlike a little ornamental plant that maybe it wouldn't be a big deal if you lost it, but a tree is really going to be that long-term investment. So it's better to err on the more conservative side. And there's also a great way that we can, with the Forest Service and some really great tree table that we've kind of put together on different types of trees for the El Paso region. I know there's some website links as well. But Oscar, could you talk to us a little bit about some trees that you recommend for this area that would do really great that you don't see a lot of?
The ones that are hard to get, unfortunately, in El Paso area are native trees.
And, right. <that's> know,
and I still haven't figured that out. But that would be the first thing I would plant and recommend for anybody. You know, try native first. And we don't have a lot of native trees in El Paso County unless you were along the river. But then again, if you're going to plant those type of trees, then you better be prepared to have a high water bill, because those were the cottonwoods and the willows and the ashes were the ones that grew along permanent water sources. But then if you come out, then you have your desert willows, which are beautiful trees. You have your Texas honey mesquite, which is more of a shrub out here, but you can give it a little extra water and it'll make a tree form. You have your hackberries, your netleaf hackberries, who grow in the arroyos and washes, which are a nice little native tree. You have your western soapberry is another nice little native tree that grows well out here. It's just that they're harder to find. Mesquites and desert willows are easier to find. And then if you were to hike up into the Franklins and get a little bit higher in elevation, you would start running into junipers and oaks. But our oaks out here, the native oaks, it's a little scrub oak, Quercus turbinella, and it's more of a small evergreen shrub, and it can make a small tree. And then our Arizona white oak, which you would find some in the Franklin and out at Waco Tanks, and that can make a fairly large tree, but they're hard to find in the market. But that tells me that, you know, oaks do well here in El Paso, and we've planted them. UTEP has a lot of oaks on campus, and they're doing so well. Chinkapin oak, Texas red oak, Graves oak, which is a native to Trans-Pecos. And the Chinkapin oak is also native in the Trans-Pecos. You find it in the Davis Mountains and Guadalupe Mountains, and so it's adapted to our soil types. Live oak, I mean, one of the oldest trees in El Paso that I know of that I can document is at the Burgess House, which is on Yandale, which is the Historical Society home.
Interesting. So, yeah, oaks come in all different types of leaf shapes, too, because we always think that traditional oak leaf, but it's not really the case with the live oaks. And also, not to forget about fall color. We're not known for fall color in El Paso, but for some reason, some years, it just kind of the wind kind of calms down and there's enough cold, but not too much, and we actually get some nice fall colors. So really, that's another characteristic to look at, too, because that adds a little interesting perspective to your landscape as well.
And a lot of oaks will give you fall color.
Yeah. So, Oscar, what's a good website that maybe our listeners can go to?
A good website
more?
Now that we have out is TexasTreePlanting, all one word, .tamu, for Texas A&M University, .edu. TexasTreePlanting.tamu.edu. Click on El Paso County.
And we'll have a list of some of these recommended trees, all sizes, on our Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And we'll also have a link to that website. Well, Oscar, we do want to thank you so much for coming in. Oscar is the regional urban forester with Texas A&M Forest Service. And we still have a lot to talk about when it comes to trees. So would you stick around for another week for another show?
Sure. Sounds great.
All right. Well, thanks again, Oscar, for coming in.
Thank you.
I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And we want to thank you for listening today. And remember that a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.